I always treated clothes more important than school. Even though I know school is more important, you always treat it more important because when you're with your friends, we're not going to be having math conversations. We're going to be, oh, yo, bro, that's a good fit, bro. That's a nice sneakers, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I would get money by any means just because. And I'm focused more on money than I am in school, to be honest. Even to this day, I feel like I am more money orientated in school because sometimes I feel like I'm just doing school for my parents. And that's real rap.
So you care more about your fit than your homework?
Sometimes I feel like that. I do care about my homework because I do it. But at the same time, I feel like I'm more money orientated. I want to go out somewhere. I'd rather do that instead of go do homework. I'm more into shit like that. It's different, man. That's just how I feel. I know what's right and I know what's wrong, but what do I want more, honestly? I know what's right and I know what's wrong, but what do I want more, honestly?
Welcome to Mental Riot.
Yeah, you're tuning into Mental Riot, man. This is where your subconscious and your conscious mind battles itself in any aspect in life. We constantly have conversations with ourselves about past things that's happened to us, things that need to happen in the future, and things that's happening right now. And it seems like a lot of the problems we have, everybody has those same problems, but it seems like nobody wants to talk about it. So we talk about that shit on this show. This episode right now is about the knowledge of education, because education is something that can only be fully taken advantage of when you're in a position to succeed. If you're not in a position to succeed, it's hard to focus on education. So many experiences and the knowledge of life has caused kids in my environment and in my demographic to view the education they learn in the classroom as something that's not beneficial to them. It's hard to worry about Shakespeare or the freaking Boston Tea Party or worry about Pythagorean theorem when you feel like you don't have the basic necessities to survive, or you feel like clothes is more important than school, or you feel like what you're known as getting money is more important than education. That's the knowledge you've acquired growing up. So if the education that I'm getting doesn't help or line up with the knowledge that I have, then you're in a recipe for disaster. So this episode right here, we talking about the knowledge of education, stuff that's happened to me growing up in school, private versus public school, situations at home when it comes to like your parents not having enough money, your parents not believing in your education system, or just the system of success in general of what the fuck life is supposed, like what is education supposed to be? Like a lot of these kids, their actual knowledge of life is far more advanced than the knowledge of education. They're in survival mode at 12, 13. Like, how I'm going to get this money? So it's hard for them to sit down and do 3 hours of homework when they come home and some of these kids can't eat. And I'm not saying it's society's fault. I'm not saying it's nobody's fault. It's just that sometimes we need to understand the knowledge of education. Education is a game. It's a system just like the working force. And if you don't understand how to finesse the education system to succeed, trust me, you'll fall out. And that's all college is about. So tune in. I got two guests on the show, Quan Johnson and Damon Brown, two people that are highly educated. They've been in the public school system, the private school system. One is in school to become a teacher, and the other one is currently a teacher, and we gonna get it. Hope you enjoy. Yeah, man, we back in the building, man, for another episode of Mental Ride. I'm your host, Cito Blanco. We're in Mount Vernon, New York, and we're in the office. The key to life, the key to it all, the ultimate equalizer amongst every human being walking on earth. Education. We all had it. We all need it. I ain't gonna lie, like, education is very, very important. So much important that I feel like adults might need to go back to school to get their like diplomas and degrees again. Cause it's like, yo, it's a completely different world with different standards and different ethics of what is smart, what is knowledgeable, how to survive, and a lot of stuff down that line. Most people like to start at the top. I like to start at the bottom. Started from the bottom. Now we're here to talk about the kids, man. The kids are the future. And most of the kids in the low-income areas are the kids that I'm talking about. Because honestly, I don't like to call it the hood, but the urban communities that don't have as much as everybody else is where I see some of the most talented, creative, intuitive human beings I've ever known to man. And it's like,
what they do or what they have, like, they should get an Oscar, a Pulitzer, or whatever all them awards is that people be jacking and shit. But sometimes the world standards of what success is isn't illustrated to what they do. And I just want to figure out, like, where the world is heading. How are we going to change this blueprint so the world as a whole understands real creativity, real intuitiveness, real just knowledge of, like, how to be the best human being you could possibly be? And where does it start? So the best thing that we all could do is ask for help. You talk to people that know more than you. That's the best thing you could do. So what I decided to do is I decided to bring two guests into the building so we could talk about education moving forward. What is knowledge? And how can we translate the experiences we had in the world that we live in to the kids that's growing up in the world? Introduce yourself. Give a little background about, you know what I'm saying, your knowledge on education, what school you went to.
So my name is Damon Brown. I graduated from the University of Albany. I went to Cardinal Spellman High School, Mount St. Michael Middle School, Regent School for elementary. I never really touched public school. As a matter of fact, I never touched public school until now, because I'm teaching now. And I teach in the school that I was brought up in through basketball and the AAU. So I've been working in this place for about 10 years. I'm teaching for two, in the DOE for two more before that. And I can still remember some of the things that I was taught and some of the kids that I interacted with. Most of them came back. A lot of them did not. A lot of them ended up in certain places that, even though they had certain aspirations and drive, they were just confined to society's rules. They couldn't break out.
My name is Quan Johnson, born and raised in the Bronx. Middle school, Richard R. Green. Went to Truman High School, located in Co-op City. Then after I graduated in 2005, I went to Lehman College, where I had a double major, biology and psychology. But due to, you know, at a time in my life when I was doing the wrong thing and getting in trouble and making easy money, you know, school wasn't a main priority in my life. So I took breaks due to, you know, my GPA falling. But I recently got back into school. This year I transferred from Lehman to BCC, where I'm studying education as a major. Plan on graduating, you know, spring of next year, 2017. And one of the main reasons why I decided to go back to school was because I have a son on the way. So, you know, I'm just in the process of gathering as much accolades as possible just to, you know, show him, you know, the different variations of success.
That was beautiful, man. Very articulate, man. It's very cool. I'm not gonna lie. A lot of people interview, you know what I'm saying? They come through like, yo, you know my name, my name is at, you know what I'm saying, Flacco Herbo, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Got the whole A name and all that. You know what I'm saying? Like shout people out of prison and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
So, you know what I'm saying? That's the first time I really get like, hey, like, people really got to know government name and all that, you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
that shit sound like a LinkedIn profile just now. Like. Nah, but okay, so Quan, you brought up a very, very interesting point, and I like that you stated, you said showing success. So I would like to say, what is your definition of success growing up, and then what's your definition of success now?
Growing up, what we would call like the hood, you know, I grew up on White Plains Road most of my life, you know, 232nd Street, you know, I was there before the McDonald's on White Plains Road was there. Before the McDonald's was there on 232nd on White Plains Road, it was a corner store. We used to steal eggs from there, you know, and bury them in the backyard during Halloween. Growing up, you know, success, it was very obvious to me at a young age that, you know, my family didn't have a lot of family members and siblings in, like, you know, high areas as far as, like, you know, what I thought to be successful, like doctors and lawyers and police officers and firefighters and things like that. So growing up, you know, I always wanted to have one of those professions, you know what I'm saying? So growing up on White Plains Road, there was a conflict between, you know, my concept of success, because we was in a drug infested neighborhood at the time. You know, 228th Street was getting a lot of money, 223rd, you know what I mean, where Island Breeze used to be, before Good Dime was there. You know, these was drug infested blocks. So
I gotta pull the proof because he's talking about his uncle. So the 228th that you was talking about, that the hope to make the success, his uncle he used to talk about, you know what I'm saying, help shape the wrong success.
We gonna have to do a lot of editing. I don't want nobody to say I'm snitching in this. But.
Nah, ain't no snitch, I'm just saying.
Growing up, my mom used to send me to school, and you know, it was very easy for me to get good grades at a very young age. You know, I was valedictorian of my class in fifth grade, you know, and I was almost salutatorian in the eighth grade, you know. It was between like me and Caduce. So, you know, me going to school was easy. I found the work to be very easy. Like I didn't want none of my peers to help me with my homework, but I had an image of success seeing the drug dealers I passed every day coming from school. My values and success, it was very different. And then, you know, I grew up in a house where I didn't feel like my mom was very successful because she was always working late. You know, she was doing living work. You know, that's a home attendant, you know, not seeing your mom sometimes 2 weeks in a row, only seeing her, you know, on Saturdays, on the weekends. And then I seen my stepfather come in and out the house. You know, he was a street guy, you know what I mean, making fast money, but he wasn't really there neither. When I wanted things, when I got to high school, my mom told me, like, if you want it, go work. So here I am going to high school, you know what I mean? But I want things that I didn't have at the moment, and I felt that it was unfair that I didn't have these things, so I started working for it. I had all this love for vanity, and subconsciously, it started to change me. It wasn't until later on down the line, you know, after, you know, meeting a variety of different people and, you know, going to the city and going out of state where, you know, I was able to change my view of success. Like, to me, success is anyone who's working, who's currently working or taking steps towards working on their own goal. You know, you're successful not based off of what you have accomplished. You're successful based off of the steps that you're taking towards the goal that you have set before you. Whether short term or long term, from the hood, from the Bronx, you know, in the outer cities of New York, you know, they view success as, you know, if you're not driving a big car or you don't live in a big house, if you're not,
it's like Vanity University.
Yeah, you know, if you're not popping bottles, you know, if you don't pair Gucci's or Lubes, you know, you're not successful. But that's not really what success is. You know, success is you knowing within yourself that you've accomplished the things that you set forth. You know, my success is not based off of where anyone else is in life.
But that's how it should be. Like, it's always yours.
Yeah,
like,
you know.
It's your definition.
At one point it was, though. Like, at one point,
we all suffer from that. I feel like naturally, especially our age group, because I feel like the world doesn't necessarily give us enough. They don't factor in how we really grew up in the social media era. Like, I don't think they factor in, like, yo, Big Mun Ting, like, yo, the shit bust when we was right in that moment. Like, it's kind of like nobody knew what to expect. Like, we've been in a spot where literally it's call up your mans, let's go play basketball, let's meet up, let's go get to Arizona, let's play a little bit of video games, to literally, yo, what's her aim?
Social media, like, really changed the game on every level. Growing up, like, while it was happening, nobody, like, knew how big it was going to be or how much it was going to change the game. Like, being a kid, I remember being in high school when Skonex came out, and that shit changed the game. Like, I was having a conversation with a kid the other day. He was talking about, like, yeah, Facebook was always lit in MySpace. And I'm like, yo, bro, like, at one point in time, Facebook, you had to have a college email to actually be on Facebook because it was college only. I remember I had to steal my brother's, like, my brother have a Facebook. I remember I stole his college email just to get a Facebook so girls thought I was old, like I was in college when I was in high school. Like, there was Skonex, there was AIM, like MySpace with the background picture. You had your own music, like you had to learn HTML. Like HTML on the low, I never thought that I knew it, but I learned it because of MySpace, because I wanted my MySpace page to be popping. So it's like social media helped us and informed us to see a lot of different things in life.
But also, it changed our, like, overall view of, like, how education was important. Like, having smartphones fucked the game up. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, laptops in classrooms fucked the game up because teachers actually had to be on point. Like, technology made me more of it made me more of obnoxious student, because now for teachers teaching me something or telling me something, they better be right, because if they not right, I could go Google that shit, and if I Google it and what they're saying is wrong, I could raise my hand and violate that teacher, because that used to be fun. Like, making sure teachers was wrong in class was the shit. Now, so it's just like, when it comes to, like, the importance of, like, education in the classroom, like, social media fucked that whole shit up. Like, there's so many kids, like, that were just so caught up in social media that was just like, damn, like, I don't think. And teachers weren't prepared for how big social media was going to impact and distract kids. So it was hard to get your lesson through. And sometimes I feel like the world, like, just doesn't, like, factor that in. Like, people just kind of forget. Like, yo, like, there's so many kids walking around that don't even know what a Skonex is. Like, we were the, like, guinea pigs and experiments for all this social media shit. And it's like, because social media really bust when I was in high school. So a lot of my middle school time, I started to call, like, yo, can I speak to Eureka? Like, I had to actually call somebody's house and talk to their mom, to talk to a girl at one point. Then it got to a point where they got their own phone and I'm texting. And it got to a point they got the AIM. So, like, that whole transition was a cultural shock. And everybody was still teaching us, like, well, we're, like, in the past culture.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So it's kind of, but it's a fact. I don't think the world, we really grew up in a freaking, like, Pangea split in us in the sense of, like, you know, social media, like, and interacting with people. So it's kind of like, naturally, that vanity got put on another level, because before, I wouldn't know what that nigga in the South Bronx was wearing. I wouldn't care if he had some Vasquez's that only came out in the store on 149th. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nigga, if I went to Vim, my nigga, on 225th, and they had it, and that's all I had, I was lit. Yeah. I only had to be lit for my block or my neighborhood. Yeah. Now I gotta be lit for the whole Bronx. And, like, so vanity get took to a whole nother level.
You
don't
want
to
put that pressure on yourself.
Exactly. That shit could take to a whole nother motherfucking level. I want to talk about public versus private school, because you have the ultimate perspective on it. Private school your whole life. A lot of friends from public school. Mm-hmm. Played a lot of teams with dudes from public school. Teach in a public school. And we're not going to go into the foundation of the family thing, because that factored in too, because, you know, that strong foundation helps, and that helps you go and to see a different light. Mm-hmm. But one thing I can say is that being from, like, a strong foundation family, I would say majority of the time, that, like, there's plenty of people, not say a lot, that I know were way smarter than me, way more talented than me. I just had a backing and an opportunity that they didn't have, and it simply was just that.
Yeah.
And that's why I can say, like, I can see life where I'm a little bit further ahead in certain people's eyes of view of what life is. Yeah, go ahead, talk about the success. What you view success as?
I was a young nigga making A's at 11 or 12, trying to get a taste of the heaven.
You know what I'm saying? Like, 100%. Whole album, no feature, success type shit.
So what?
He said J. Cole. Talking about J. Cole flow.
So when you speak about success, to me, success is tailor made for who you are. So everybody's success is personal. Growing up, it was interesting because you were having a conversation about Perry Ellis and how many Jordans you had. I didn't become materialistic until I got to high school. And the reason that was, when I went to high school, I started out in an all-boys school. And everybody's in uniform, but your kick game had to be on point because somebody was going to say something. So I never thought about it because I was caught up. I was playing 3-4 sports. I was always on, like, going here, going there, always having something to do. I never really thought about it until just now when you said it. Because success, growing up, was money. If you had money, you were successful.
Facts. Hands up.
You could have got money in any way, but everybody would view, like, yo, he has money, so he's successful.
Yeah.
She has money, she's successful.
Yeah.
Or the illusion of money.
Oh, the illusion.
Because
that's true.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of imagery going on out there.
And that's why we ended up being so materialistic as a society, because I can speak to a personal experience. About 2 weeks ago, I go to school in Brooklyn. I go to Brooklyn College. Right now, I have a 4.0 GPA. I'm a teacher. But in the summertime, I'm not dressing up. I'm just chilling. So my shoes are I walk around with slippers because I'm always up and down. I'm training kids. I'm working kids out. I'm sitting in on meetings. I'm on the hiring staff of my school. Like, I'm trying to do big things. And I go to the doctor's office the other day, and I'm in the elevator with some random, I'm not naming color, some random woman. And I step onto the elevator, and she starts to clutch her purse. And in my head, I'm like, she can't be serious. Like, you don't know who I am. That's how I felt. Because at this point in my life, I'm like, I'm doing so much for the, I feel like I'm doing so much for the community. Mm-hmm. Around my way, everybody knows who I am. Mm-hmm. And it's like, my name is starting to ring bells in a positive way. I only bring positive. I do a lot for the community. I do a lot for other people's, because I do more for everybody else than I do for myself. Mm-hmm. So once this lady did that, I felt like, she attacked me personally.
Yeah.
Because she thought that I was going to have to
result to that.
Result like, to stealing from her, whatever, right?
Or even give you that energy, because nothing about my energy gave you that.
Not at all. I'm in there lounging, my slippers.
No, I know you. And that's what I tell. I know that nothing about the energy made it. It was simply off just the image in her mind and associated to whatever she thought it would be. But
so when we spoke about the materialism, I went back to the same podiatrist's office before a follow-up visit 2 weeks later. And I ran into this guy, and I'm there, same way, slippers. But he didn't take it the same way. And the reason I'm saying that is because it's the upbringing, it's just different. Because when I sat down, he was like, hey, you know, how you doing? My name is such and such. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a teacher. He said, oh my God, you're amazing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I was like, they need way more people like you in this world. Because it's not about money to you. I can tell. I see what you're doing. You could be dressed up. You could be in everything. You're here relaxing. I know it's your time off. He's like, you know, I'm very natural. Last year I started this whole movement. Like, I felt like I didn't want to cut my hair anymore. I felt like being a teacher, I wanted to be a role model to in society. Like, I wanted people to see me for who I am. Like, my hair is, my family is from all various backgrounds. I have white, I have Indian, I have, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. right? So my hair is naturally curly. But nobody ever really saw that. They always see me as like, yo, this little black kid.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, I'm going to show you who I am. Stop cutting my hair. Started growing the beard out a little bit. You know, I trim it because I can't, you know, mine doesn't feel it like y'all. So I always got to keep
it up.
So, like, I wanted everybody to start to see me for me. To me, that is what I teach my kids. Like, all the kids in my class, you got to be you. And that makes you successful. Whether you feel like you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, if you want to be a construction worker, if you want to sit and work in an after-school program where you're just working with at-risk youth and you're working 3 to 6, from 3 to 6, 3 hours a day, if that's what makes you happy, you're successful.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Finding your personal happiness is what makes you successful. Me personally, my success would be sending these kids off to college and making sure that they're productive members of society. That's my version of what success
That's
is.
That's beautiful.
And all the kids I interact with, the 300, 400, with the basketball, you know, I just came from a showcase event where I took a few kids down, 4 kids from my school to get them into and then I'm gonna get to this point about public versus private in a minute, right? No, so I took them to a school. No, I just thought about it. I took them to a school to a showcase event where they can, you know, come and show how their athletic ability can get them into a boarding school. Free ride. And, like, in my mind, that's all it's about. Like, using education to open doors. So now I'm going to jump into this public versus private because it's a perfect segue. Because at my school, there's an issue. They want, you know, some of these teachers are coming from these specific areas. Like, hey, I coach basketball. Yeah, I coach basketball. Can I join? I wanted to coach the team. We've been there for years. Like I said, I've been there forever. I've been coaching there for 4 years. The last 2 years, we won city championship, Bronx championship. Middle school, we've taken over. Storm campus basketball team, we've taken over. And every year, there's always someone else who wants to jump on the bandwagon. Like, you know, I'm like, all right, come on now. Because I'm not going to tell you no. You want to help kids? Come on down. So recently, I had a teacher come to me and say, you know, I really don't want to help kids. I just want to make the money. And that right there, I was like, I don't really want
wrong
you around
mindset.
Me. You got the wrong mindset.
Yeah.
You got the wrong mindset.
All right, hold on. I'm going to give it. Yo, education is the biggest come up to a lot of teachers. It don't make no sense. Like, I'll never forget it. Like, I remember my principal at one point, he was a coach of, like, 5 teams. But but he never, ever, ever showed to no practice. He hired somebody that was like a school aide, and they ran everything. And then, like, I think you get like, it was like 10K or like 15K or something like that for coaching. Or was like 7 or it's something.
You get some, I don't, for the middle school, I don't get.
No,
get
for high school, it was high like, school, for yeah, high PSAL, school, yeah. The PSAL like, is like a, and then you're the, he was the athletic director. Like, so he might have made like probably 15 or 17K just off that, but he never showed up. Mm-hmm. He might have just broke them off a little bit of some. And then, like, so you really here, like, you really putting your work in for these kids. You talking mm-hmm. about money, nigga?
Yeah, honestly, I'm not even here to throw no shade. I'm not sure how many like coaches I still got that's still in the school system, or how many teachers I got that's still in the school system, or school aides, or what the case might be. But at the end of the day, like, whoever knows me know what high school I went to, and they know the filth that took place in that school. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, it's all about money. Like, it's all about money. Like, most of these teachers, you got teachers that care, you got teachers that's there for you, but a lot of times it's a come up. It's about that check, the overtime, the being coaches. It's about money. Like, I know to this day, one of the schools I've worked in the past, there's a coach where he don't really coach the team. Like, he has the requirements, he has the education, he got the CPR, he got the degree, but he don't got the knowledge for the game. He got the education, so the education gives him the title, but he don't got the knowledge to provide these kids what they need to succeed on or off the field, court, or whatever the case might be. So it's just tough because, like, growing up in an environment where, yeah, you're supposed to learn education, but you see knowledge about one thing, and that's getting money. Like, I've been in situations where I've seen school aides roll dice in the bathroom with us. Like, we roll dice in the bathroom with school aides, or you got school aides that, like, they, you know what I'm saying, they doing what they doing, you know what I'm saying, they finding ways to make money. I remember being younger, working in summer youth, and summer youth, you had people that, grown-ass people selling nutcrackers after summer youth is over, because they know we young, we just got paid, and we trying to make money. So it's like, education is important, but when you think about these environments of the education we around, like, the knowledge that we have of education is getting money. That's the knowledge we got. The knowledge of education for us was, how are we going to get this money? And it's not just going outside our communities or our environment to see that. We see that shit inside the communities. Not just from the people that's not from our communities and come and try to make money in there. It's the people within our communities itself. So as a 12, 13-year-old kid, you just like, damn, like, you like, what? And it's like, yeah, like, a grown-ass man will be in the bathroom with you rolling dice, and he'll dead take your money, bro. Like, you supposed to go out with your girl after school, and it's a rap for that. He'll dead take your money. Like, there's kids that, like, yo, like, real talk, like, they missing football practice because they about to go sell an ounce, B. And that's the knowledge of education in a lot of situations. And I know a lot of times we talk about stuff that's repetitive, or talk about stuff that, like, okay, everybody knows about it, or there's movies about how it was going on, or, like, this is the same old story. But there's something that will never leave me. It's just simply like, yo, to know and not do means you don't know. If everybody knew that what's going on was that epic or wrong, then there will be processes to change it. But if every single year there's another Brenda's got a baby, if every single year there's another Pookie, if every single year there's another G Money, if every single year there's another 50 Cent, if every single year there's another person that's finding a way, the knowledge of making money in any type of system itself, and they're losing years on their life, or they getting executed, or they falling into the system, then obviously it's still a problem. So it's like, yo, you can't, like, we as kids growing up, what we actually only are doing what we see. Like, you could teach what you know, and these teachers try that, but you can only produce what you are. And a lot of these schools produce exactly what they are. Money hungry, that's trying to find any means to get it. And you see that in society. And you see that in how we go about it.
I'm sorry. I can think about that. I'm under my principal, like, yo, Felice, man, yo, fuck out of here.
That's where it's at. So when he said that to me, when he said that too, you know, I ain't putting nothing. Said that to somebody, and they discussed it, because everything we do from the heart is family. Program is about being family oriented. So when they brought that to me, I was like, nah, this can't be right. I mean, you know what? If you want to make money, get it. If that's going to satisfy him, come on down. Because I know the second that he gets in and he sees what we do, the money's not going to matter anymore. He's going to want to be there.
Yeah.
But we've gone through every year. It's like we have three schools in the building, so they always trying to switch it out. Like, oh, let me. You know, and I want to start my own team, my own program, and have my own kids do it. And this year I'm not taking it. Like, somebody's gonna say something to me, and I'm really gonna have to let them know. Like, I don't think you're here for these kids. Now you can have this vision, but if you see that we've sent countless amounts of kids last year, our whole starting five and three off the bench went to private school for free or reduced tuition. And I'm all about sending them to private school because the public high schools that I've sent certain people to haven't done what they were supposed to do. Like, every kid that we've sent to a private school is on the road to college. Mm. Academically and athletically, they're getting Division I, II, III offers. They're on the road. Every kid we sent to a public school, we've had to move after 2 years because the environment's crazy. I'm talking about, and I'm just going to say it, Wings. I'm talking about Roosevelt. I'm talking about FDA. I'm calling all these schools out because it has nothing to do with the principal.
Yeah.
The principal's not what it is because the principal can shout out orders. But who is in your classrooms telling you what to do? Because that's the key. That's the key.
So are you saying that kids who are athletic have better opportunities getting observed later on down the line for their athletic ability by going to private school rather than going to public? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that,
to me, that's a fact.
That's a fact.
It is.
That's been a fact since like the beginning of, if you look, like, no lie, even when the NBA was taking dudes that could go to like NBA, you'll see of the Christian
Academy,
St. Mary's, every one of them. It's wild.
And I'm gonna tell you why that is in New York City. In New York City, no one wants to recruit from PSAL because they know that the kids that they get from PSAL can't hang academically. Now, my question is, why is that?
And that's let me say something about that now.
The assumption.
The poster child for that situation is messed up. And look, but who's the last real star to come from PSAL and then make it big? The nigga don't got a contract right now. It's Lance Stevenson. And like what? He could have went to Duke. He went to Kentucky. But where he had to go? He had to go to Wick, Cincinnati. And why? Well, he got drafted, second round pick. And what happened? I'm just saying, it's messed up. But as you look at it for what it is, it's just like,
I mean, factually, I'm not as big of a sports guy like y'all two might be.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, kids not being observed, you know, from a PSAL standpoint, you know, versus, you know, students that are in private school. I never went to private school.
Mm-hmm.
Did I want to when I was growing up? Of course. But my mom said no. You know, my mom had five kids. You know, my little sister went to private school. You know, my second smallest sister went to private school because when she was in middle school, she went to Richard R. Green. She graduated at the top of her class, like I think with a 90 average. The principal at the time of Richard R. Green met with my mom and said, listen, your daughter's on another level. You gotta go to private school.
You gotta invest in
you know,
future, yeah.
And also, you know, when I wanted to go to private school when I was younger, my father wasn't around. My mom had two kids after my father from my stepfather. He was in the street, he was getting a lot of money, he was helping my mom. Sometimes he was with my mom, sometimes he wasn't. But he had enough funds coming in to pay for my little sister to go. I think that's where the problem is. The problem is, you know, school, because they're very bright, you know, academic, you know, kids with very high academic marks who's going to public school, who's very athletic. But I think that's the problem. Like, the way that people are looking at these kids, the whole view, I hate saying the mindset, let me say mindset like 10 different times, but the whole view, the whole optical view that the children are being looked upon is just wrong. You know, they could very well be, you know, the next LeBron James, the next Kobe Bryant coming out of, you know, Richard R. Green Middle School, coming out of, you know, Pier 68, you know, coming out of Evander, coming out of Truman, coming out of Clinton. But if they're going to be frowned upon because there's doubt that these kids are academically, you know, there, you know, to move on to college, Division I colleges, I think we need to start fixing that problem from now. Because, you know, every child should be given the same opportunity across the board.
I agree 100%.
You know, the thing that you're saying, and it really is, honestly, is the reason kind of why we're here. And we're having a discussion about education. Because it's like, that view of on how the system is causing kids to lose the natural fortitude to want to take it to that level because there's so many things in their way, and they like it's kind of like kids give up before they even start.
And do you know why? I was having this discussion at school earlier this week. One of the reasons why I feel, you know, that kids give up is because of what they're being taught at home. Like, I feel like personal development should not start when you're a teenager. I feel like personal development should not start when you're in college. I feel like self-motivation, self-taught, you know, motivation should come from home. And, you know, I feel like it's the parents who somehow trap their child who come from poverty, you know, neighborhoods and areas that they can't succeed past their vision. You know, they can't succeed past the bus route up Boston Road or up Fordham Road because, you know, I remember there was a time, I remember when I was graduating from middle school and I applied for the Macy program at Clinton. I was on the waiting list, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I was like, Mom, listen, we need to go to Clinton right now. We need to sit down and talk to somebody. I know they could get me off this waiting list. This is a good program for me. She said, oh, you didn't get in? I was like, no, I got in, but I'm on the waiting list. She's like, that sounds like you didn't get in. And you know, having a Jamaican mom, yeah, you know, she's a little ignorant.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, what school you got in? You got into Truman?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I did. She's like, all right, you're going to Truman with your brother. And I was like, she didn't fight for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So when you have a child, you know, my son isn't born yet, but it's so funny. You get to recall everything that you've seen in the past that other kids your age went through. And you being an adult now, a young adult now, you see how your peers, your friends talk to their kids. You know, you see what you want to do, what you don't want to do. I think that a lot of these kids in our neighborhood, you know, you want to say Bronx, Brooklyn, you know, Mount Vernon, you know, the bad areas of Queens. I think that it starts from home. And I think that some of these parents, due to their financial status, they're limiting their children's beliefs.
Okay, this is one thing, and I had to come to grips with this.
And it's funny that you said that public school, private school thing, because that's where it begins. And I'm gonna come to that.
Our parents are dead just human beings. Like, when I realized that, like, at one point you think your parents dead, got a checklist of what's going on. You look back like, yo, you just made that up. Like, you just thought this is how it's supposed to happen. Like, on some G shit. Back at it like, yo, like, you didn't make a good, you didn't read a book about that. You seen your parent, your friend do that, like, all right, maybe this might work too.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, and because I go back to Jamaica so much and I want my pops, I be looking like, yo, what our parents went through, the shit they grew up on. So when it's kind of like, you got to understand, we were here. We've seen certain things, heard certain stories, and developed our mind a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like Jamaica, the Caribbean, a lot of them, for one, I'm not going to go all the way back, but it's like they were all colonies. Now, I may be wrong. You can't quote me on this. But from my opinion, I feel like real information, knowledge, and education started probably about 15 years ago, when everybody had the ability to check, fact check, and look stuff up. A lot of times we look back at history and we look at the facts. So we look at what happened, but you got to look at it all. You look at what's going on. I have to understand that, like, yo, majority of my mom's growing up education wise was in a colony. Like, they were in peril. Like, they're a colony. Like, they were owned by England. Majority of my mom growing up, her education system was an education system that was passed down through the mother country of England. And a part of the education system is to naturally, like, kill certain positive reinforcement about being the best you could be, or education about your culture and who you are as an individual and what you can possibly do. So a lot of my mom's education and knowledge growing up in her homeland was tainted due to
due to it being colonized. Racial or economical structures that were instilled to keep a certain race or culture down, we still have the effects of those today. And it's like, at certain times, like, I love my mother, I love my pops to death, but there's times when they talk and they talk about doing certain things, I just be like, all right, I got to factor in to understand, like, yo, what was beaten into their head growing up and, like, what their parents learned or what their grandparents learned in the environment they were in. Like, Jamaica's independence is only 50 years, bro. Like, it's only been 50 years so far. So when you really think about a lot of these countries, like, they're not too far away from a lot of these racial or structural systems that still kept them down mentally. So you got to factor that in OD. So, like, when my mom asked me, like, did I take the MTA test yet? Or did I apply for a city job? Or do I apply for, like, shit like that? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I understand. I get it. I get why she wants me to say that. I mean, I get why she wants me to apply for those jobs. I get it, because in her mind, it's like, listen, you get a nice job, you get a good job, you're going to be fine, you're going to be good, you're successful, I don't got to worry about you, that's cool. But it's kind of like, I'm happy, like, it's tough because, like, don't get me wrong, my mom fights for my dreams. My mom has put me in opportunities and done stuff for me that, like, yo, I love her to death for, not many mothers would do. But there's also times where she's just like, yo, did you take the test yet? And, like, in my head, like, I get it. I'm not mad at her saying that. But a part of me is like, yo, damn, Donnie, I got to make this shit happen faster. Every time I hear, like, go take an MTA test or go take a city job test or you know what I'm saying, or go take the CO test or see to be a cop, it's just like, yo, like you basically telling me to settle. And I'm not knocking anybody that does that. Like, if that's something that makes you happy, you want to do, then cool. But it's just kind of just like, sometimes I just kind of want to be like, yo, fuck every parent that tells their kid go take an MTA test or a CO test. It's like, yo, like, fuck out of here. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's tough because it's that balance. It's like, consciously, you're looking at the world, you're looking at money, looking at status and what everybody's doing, and you get why they're telling you that. You get why they're saying you got to survive in this world. Subconsciously, based upon your soul, your creativity, and what you want in your heart, you like, yo, fuck all that, man. Like, that shit makes my soul cry. That shit kills me. Like, that shit doesn't make me happy. So it's that balance, and it's tough. But it's especially coming from, like, a Jamaican household, a Caribbean household, like, you got to understand, like, England had that shit on lock for centuries, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, well, not centuries, but for years and decades. So now, we just getting out of a stage now.
You know, the whole, sometimes, you know, Caribbean parents are ignorant. Sometimes they don't want to stretch their minds, you know what I mean, their mind frame, you know. But I do disagree with you on the point where it's not more so about, you know, the area, it's more the characteristics of the race itself. You know, as black people, you don't have a lot of, it's not spoken of a lot of black people being successful and having all these professional, high standard jobs. You know, how many black or Hispanic, you know, because we're one of the same, and how many black or Hispanic household are there teachers? Are there teachers versus, you know, if you look at one black family and another Hispanic family, in that family, are people most likely that live in that household to be teachers and doctors and firefighters and police officers, or nurses aides, or, you know, wanting to be a home attendant? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because the number one thing when you come from Jamaica is go get a home health aid job, go be a medical assistant. There's not a lot of talk of, you know, as a race, you know, as a culture, to be the doctors. You know, it's like we're going backwards in a sense. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't say this, but what I'm trying to say is that they, like, when they came up, that wasn't possible. They still only shoot for what's the possible. Cause when they came up, being a home aide, was you was getting money out here. Like, you was good.
Yeah.
Like, being a nurse, you was good.
Yeah.
So that's why how they haven't evolved to see past to say, this is the success. This is the job that eventually you can necessarily be. But like you said, okay, but I'm trying to let you know, having an American education, even being in public school, allows your brain to think that way. The structure of their brain frame and how it is, and it's messed up. You hear it all the time. I hear my mom say it every day, and it bothers me. What, massa? Or like this little slang, these little slangs
yeah,
and shit.
Yeah, those are words and phrases that hold you back too.
But I'm trying to say, but it's kind of like,
My mom, what, 59?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, to like really kind of just like, yo, reel back the whole 60 years or 59 years and say you're not supposed to say that. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, like so some their subconscious and conscious mind of these behaviors and things are so in this, like, fabric of their soul that only us, as the education we get, we can look back and say, okay, I understand why you're saying that. I know where it's coming from. But me personally, it's not for me. But I'm going to respect you as my mother, and I'm gonna say, okay.
Having education is not being educated. You know, like, I spoke to someone the other day, having education is not being educated.
That's a fact.
That's the best thing
that you've ever said. I say that all the time. Like, I'll let you go. I don't want to go for the team.
No. I mean, we're going to go back and forth because this is a big topic. I was having a conversation on Saturday, you know, with a group of, you know, older Jamaican men that, you know, I kick it with from time to time. And one of them said, we was talking about something and I blurted out, knowledge is power. And he said, knowledge is not power. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, the more knowledgeable you are of a situation or a topic or an issue, you know, the more power you have to make a decision to change something, you know. And I said, education was the key. He said, education is not the key. And I said, what are you talking about? You sound ignorant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because let me tell you something. Yes, currently, I'm a college student. The last semester I completed was May or June of 2009. When I started Lehman College, I was on Dean's List for 3 semesters. Stuff happened. You understand what I'm saying? Now, fast forward, I'm back in school. Yes, partially, one of the reasons why I'm back in school now is for my son on the way, right? So he see daddy went to school, he got the degree. But am I a believer of the college plan? Am I a believer of the degree per se? No! I am not a believer of the degree. I am not the believer of the associates, the bachelor's, the master's, the PhD, the doctorate. I am a believer of the education. And the education process that allows us to get high-paying jobs comes sometimes, you know, from going to school and getting that piece of paper, that plaque to hang on your wall. Because everyone, let's keep it real here. Everyone do not have the entrepreneurial gene. For everyone being an entrepreneur, even if you feel it within your heart, to everyone it is not achievable. You know, and that's what it is. Like, the plan, we need to stop as black people, and this is a general statement, this is my own personal opinion, this is not a fact. As black people, I feel like we need to stop getting out of the habits of saying how the white man is holding us back. You know what I'm saying? The system is holding us back. You know, the lack of education is holding us back. There are grants out there. There are free websites to become educated, to get your GED on your own. You know what I'm saying? I know you want to jump in real quick. Yeah, go ahead.
It's right.
This is my honest opinion. As a race, as a matter of fact, as a society, color, very doesn't matter. But I'm gonna speak to the African American community, the Caribbean American community, because sometimes people don't like to intertwine the two, even though it is the same. We need to unify,
yes,
as a whole, and one of the issues when we were talking about just getting a city job or MTA job, that was good for us, but that wasn't good for everybody else. And the problem is, like, we don't take these risks because we're afraid to fail.
Yep.
And we're afraid to fail because when we turn around, it's not the white man laughing at us. It's our own people laughing at us. And that hurts the most because you're looking right in the mirror and they're bringing you down. They're breaking you down.
Crab in the bucket. Same thing. Mm-hmm.
In terms of education, I agree with you 100%. That diploma doesn't mean anything once you step into that workforce. Because there are people that I work with who may be way more qualified than me, who have 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 degrees. And I sit there and I watch them in a classroom with these kids, and they're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You're teaching these kids. I work with a special ed population. In my classroom, you can't tell which kid is special ed and who's not. I do that for a reason. We're all going to the same place. You're all held to the same standards. We need to do that as a race. Hold each other accountable. And if we fail, we pick them up we get right back on it. You pick her up, you get right back on it.
For me personally, I lost the love to want to be educated, to want to learn at one point. And it took me a minute, but I thought of it. I went back. I lost the love to wanting to learn and to excel when I witnessed, when I understood, when I kept hearing over and over the struggle my mom was going through financially. When you're growing up in a poverty-stricken household where money is a common issue, you tend, when you realize, when your consciousness grows, to realize that you say to yourself, like, man, my mom could keep complaining about the light bill. We complain about food. My cereal always running out. She says she don't got no money. I'm getting $5 a week, to $5 a day to go to school instead of my friend, Shondell, who's getting $20 a day. I want to work. You know why? And I feel like this needs a change, because when kids are growing up, as parents, to all the parents out there that are listening, don't ever make your child, your son, your daughter, your niece and nephews, any young child, you know, who's still young, who's still, you know, in their childhood years, who's still a teenager, who hasn't fully developed yet mentally, parents do not let them see the heartache and the struggle it is to maintain life, to go through life financially. Because once that kid feels that they're not getting what is needed, they're not getting the substance needed, you know, to go to school and focus, because they're thinking about mommy not having enough money, they're thinking about daddy not having enough money, they're gonna lose the interest of wanting to learn more and switch that, have that switch in their mind change
to get this money.
There's a lot of people that wanna go to school, but they're talking about, oh, I gotta pay. Everybody that go to college don't have to pay. You know what I'm saying? And I was having this is the same conversation I was having the other day. Listen, there's so much free education out there. You just gotta look.
The knowledge of education is very, very key. Most people, especially in college, fail or flunk out because they didn't understand what it is that they necessarily had to do, or the way to prepare, or the way to finesse their way to get through college. Like, one simple thing that I had a brother and a sister that was older than me that went through school. He already knew and told me exactly what to do, how to go about stuff, like what I needed to buy, what I didn't need to buy, stuff like that. And I will never forget, like, I remember going to school, going in high school, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna study business, I'm gonna study marketing, I'm gonna study all this shit. And then my brother's like, nope, you're going to school, you're gonna do liberal arts. I'm like, why don't you do liberal arts for? He's like, because you bang out your core classes now in the process while you're trying to figure out what you really, really want to do. And by the time you get your associates, then you can get your bachelor's and whatever you want to do, but it gives you time. And I'm just like, I don't want to do that. He said, nope, do liberal arts. So I did liberal arts. I told a couple of my friends to do the same thing. Boom. Everybody's like, no, I'm going to do business, I'm going to do finance, I'm going to do all these majors. Then eventually, financial aid kicks in, financial aid doesn't come in the way it's supposed to, people start flunking out of school, things like that. And it's like people want to change their majors because the world is changing, or their opinions of what they want to do is changing. But I've seen so many people start a whole major and they got 20, 30, 40 credits in the major, but they don't want to do that major no more. They got to start from scratch. They got to start from zero. But if they did liberal arts from jump, they'd have been fine. They'd have had enough time to figure out what major they want to do, working towards a degree they'll be all right with. And a lot of stuff I knew because I had the knowledge of education from my brother and my sister, because they'd been through the process. That's what I mean. It's like there's so many different grants and scholarships and way to finesse and get your way through school. A lot of it has nothing to do with how smart or intelligent you are. Majority of it is your knowledge of education. How do you know about the process of getting through it? Because if it was just retaining information, if it was just how smart you were, how talented you are, then trust me, this world would be different. A lot of people will have degrees, but there's so many people out there with 30, 40, 50 credits of a major that they want no parts of or don't want nothing to do with. And simply off the fact that they went to school and just chose liberal arts and decided to pick their major later on, their world could be completely different. The knowledge of education, there's way more stuff in, like, scholarships, NCAA Clearinghouse.
So many, like, I had so many kids now talking about they about to get a scholarship. I'm getting a scholarship. I'm like, yo, bro, you went to Clarence House? Yeah, you passed Clarence House? Like, what's Clarence House? Like, your NTA Clarence House. Like, you have to have a certain GPA, SAT requirements, and you have to pass NTA Clarence House to get any type of scholarship. And I remember when I brought that shit to my coach when I was in my 10th grade year. Like, because I had to set out, like, nigga, I'm going D1. In my head, he's like, oh, Clarence House, what's this? He wasn't sure what Clarence House was. And he had an idea of it, but he wasn't sure exactly what to take place. I'm like, yo, coach, I need this grades. I need this amount of film. I need all that to make it happen. He's looking at me like, yeah, I got you. That shit never happened. It's because I was put in a position where I was around people that knew the education. They knew the knowledge of education. They knew the knowledge of what it is or what it took to get the job done. And the biggest problem is, most people don't have the knowledge of education. They don't know what it takes. And I was blessed that my mom started working in the school system when I was in high school. I remember when I got suspended, and they almost wanted to give me superintendent suspension and kick me out of my school and put me in one of those freaking, like, schools that got, like, gates on it and shit. She came through. She had the law, the bylaws of the DOE. She broke it all down to my principal. My principal could do nothing about it because she had the knowledge of education, and she knew exactly what he could and what he couldn't do. And you know what he did? Put me right back in school and give me right back my football season. He couldn't dub me. And it's crazy because it's kind of like I know this stuff that my brother and my sister went through because my mom wasn't in the school system, and she just said, yeah, hey, it is what it is. It is what it is, and just let it rock because she didn't have the knowledge of education. So if you're a parent out there, if you're an uncle, a godkid, whatever the case might be, you got to start understanding the knowledge of education. You got to understand how it works. So if you don't understand how it works, there's too many opportunities and so much things and dreams get killed because you just wasn't aware of what necessarily it took to make it happen. This was a great show. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Some of the show, I lost it. I needed an internal hard drive. I lost it. Got deleted by accident. That's why Quan Johnson and Damon Bryan, not going to hear them say goodbyes. They didn't leave any at names. They were very professional. Just like, yo, Quan Johnson, Damon Brown. Right now, currently, as I'm recording this right now, Quan Johnson, his son was born. The son that he said he was going to school for to show his son like a level of success and the accolades. He has a beautiful son. I'm so proud of him, man. He's come a long way. Good dude. Me and Damon Brown are going way, way back. I'm talking about back in the day, like Dreamcast N64 days went back. And he's doing big things. Him and his brother Jamal Brown, they're great coaches for WizKids. Like, they really doing big things. They really help a lot of these kids and helping them understand the knowledge of education, understand the process, letting them know what they got to do, putting them in positions to succeed. So this podcast didn't give you, like, all the ones and twos or the ways to go about it or didn't give you just an exact blueprint of how do I get a full-blown knowledge of education. But I just want to open up your mind. Open your mind up and understand, like, yo, you have to start talking and looking and reading stuff up to understand that, listen, this is a system. And you got to be knowledgeable in the system. If it's education, if it's the workforce, if it's money, you got to be knowledgeable in it. And that's the only way you can find your way through it. Once again, this is Mental Ride. I'm your host, Cito Blanco, a.k.a. Donnie, a.k.a. Donovar, Eric Appleton. Whatever you want to call me is fine with me. I'm just out here just trying to help your subconscious and your conscious mind settle itself because these are the battles I have daily, man. Like, it's what should my soul say? What should my heart do? What does, like, my soul really want? And then my conscious mind of, like, society's view of me, money and status and vanity and all this stuff that is just flooded your head. And it's just that battle. It's like, yo, what do we do? Like, what's the balance? How do we figure that shit out? If you guys don't know, the only reason why I created this podcast is because I just kind of wanted to realize, like, yo, why am I so fucked up? Like, why? How is it that all this stuff has happened to me in life? And, like, I know I'm not the only one. And there's got to be people out there that feel exactly how I feel, but they keep it to themselves because they felt like, yo, they think everybody knows. When you realize, like, a lot of people don't know. The sad part is most people don't know. Most people don't want to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. Thanks for listening to Mental Riot. I'm going to leave you guys with a little gift. I do poetry myself, but there was this poem that I was looking up on YouTube about education and knowledge, and it's this poet from England that I just, like, found out about, and, like, to me, this spoken word is just deep, so listen to it. It's about education and knowledge. It's about what we were just talking about, and thank you for tuning in. You know, you can find me on iTunes, Mental Riot. Find me on SoundCloud, Mental Riot Radio. You know, it's Cito Blanco, CitoBlanko. That's on Snapchat. That's on Instagram. You don't got to be talented to live your dreams, but living your dreams is a talent. Figure out what God puts you on this earth for and go after it. You only got one life. God bless.
Right now, there is a kid finishing parents' evening in a heated discussion with his mother, saying, why does he have to study subjects he will never ever use in his life? And she will look at him blank-eyed, stifle a sigh, think for a second, and then lie. She'll say something along the lines of, you know, to get a good job, you need a good degree, and these subjects will help you get a good degree. We never had this opportunity when I was younger. And he will reply, but you were young a long time ago, weren't you, Mom? And she won't respond, although what he implies makes perfect sense, that society's needs would have changed since she was 16. But she will ignore him, grip his hand more sternly, then drag him to the car. But what she doesn't know is that she didn't ignore him just to shut him up. She didn't lie because they were just returning from parents' evening and an argument in the hallway would look bad on her resume. She won't lie because she just spent the last 1 hour convincing a stern-faced teacher that she will ensure that her child studies more at home. No, she would lie simply because she does not know any better herself. Although her whole adult life, she has never used or applied Pythagoras' theorem, pathetic fallacy, and still does not know the value of X. She will rely on society to tell her that her child, who has one of the sharpest minds in the school, is hyperactive, unfocused, easily distracted, and wayward. Students, how many equations, subjects, and dates did you memorize just before an exam never to use again? How many A grades did you get, which were never asked for when you applied for a job? How many times have you remembered something 5 minutes just after the teacher said stop writing, only to receive your results 1 month later to realize that you were only 1 mark short of the top grade? Does that mean remembering 5 minutes earlier would have made you more qualified for a particular job? Well, on the application form, it would have. We all have different abilities, thought processes, experiences, and genes. So why is a class full of individuals tested by the same means? So does that mean Sherelle thinks she's dumb because she couldn't do a couple of sums? And if this issue is not addressed properly, it then becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Then every school has the audacity to have a policy on equality. The irony. Exams are society's methods of telling you what you're worth. But you can't let society tell you what you are, because it's the same society that tells you that abortion is wrong but then looks down on teenage parents. The same society that sells products to promote natural hair, looks, and smooth complexion, with the model on the box half photoshopped and has fake lashes and hair extensions, with pastors that preach charity but own private jets, imams that preach against greed but are all fat, parents that say they want educated kids but constantly marvel at how rich Richard Branson is, governments that preach peace but endorse wars, that say they believe so much in the importance of higher education and further learning, then why increase tuition fees every single year? I believe Miss Jefferson when she took me into the office and said that my exams would be imperative to my success, because we was taught to always follow when Miss Jefferson led. But then I took Jefferson out of the equation and learned to think for myself. I realized we was taught to always follow when Miss led. The irony. Test us with tests, but the finals are never final, because they never prepare us for the biggest test, which is survival. And what I suggest is fairly outlandish, so I do not expect everyone to understand this, except for the kids who knows what it feels like to be worth no more than that D or that A that you get on results day, and the ones whose best stories were never good enough for the English teacher, because apparently you missed out key literal techniques, did not follow the class plan, and the language was too informal for him to understand. But then he'd reference Hamlet and Macbeth, and you'd fight the urge to express your contempt by partially clenching your fist with only your medius finger left protruding in the middle of your hand, and then asks if he was aware that Shakespeare was known as the innovator of slang, or the kid at the back of the class who thinks, why am I studying something that doesn't fuel my drive? But then when confronted with a maths problem, his eyes come alive. So this one is for my generation, the ones who found what they were looking for on Google, the ones who followed their dreams on Twitter, pictured their future on Instagram, accepted destiny on Facebook. This one's for my failures and my drop, for my unemployed graduates, my shop assistants, cleaners and cashiers with bigger dreams, my self-employed entrepreneurs, my world changers and my dream chasers. Because the purpose of why I hate school but love education was not to initiate a worldwide debate, but to let them know that whether 72 or 88, 44 or 68, we will not let exam results decide our fate. Peace.